Davis has always been very strong in activism, and now we'll see how the community brings awareness to what is happening in Iran. From the Blue Devil Hub, this is the News Cycle. I'm Nani Grigor, and today is Monday, October 24th. All over Iran, protests have spiked because of the injustices that have happened, and we see Davis's connection and support. Layla Bolkin has the story.
Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old woman in Iran, was arrested by the morality police for wearing her hijab wrong. The Iranian government claims that it was an accident and that she had a heart attack, but when they returned her body, she was found with blows to the head and was brain dead. Even though this isn't the first time this has happened, the death of Amini was a breaking point for the Iranian people, leading to protests all over the world. Mirza Asande, a former Davis High student, currently lives in Portugal and attended a protest herself.
I think that it's really powerful that there's countries all over the world protesting, because that just shows how many people it's affecting. People learn from it. Even if they were just walking past, like, they were learning from it.
Oppression in Iran started decades ago, where it became mandatory for women, regardless of faith, to wear the hijab and wear modest clothing. Nusha Nesbaum, Davis High student, is vocal about the topic.
After the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the Islamic regime was put in place, and they are extremely strict. They have strict, like, morality laws. Like, they're not allowed to dance. They're not allowed to, like, play music. They have to cover up and all that.
Hassande feels that this is not just an issue for the people of Iran. It's an issue that concerns everyone.
And I think it should be seen as not Iran's problem, but a huge women's rights movement, because women are putting their lives at risk. And if you go protest against Roe v. Wade in America, you're not going to die, but they will. So that's just mind-boggling that people don't see that it's bigger than just a country. It's a whole women's rights movement.
Hassande has family in Iran and has not been able to contact them during these times.
In Iran, so they don't have internet. And then when they do have internet, they have to use a VPN, which not everyone in Iran can afford. And it's just a weird system, like, because you're kind of like, it's a loophole to use the internet. But at the same time, they're going to do something where they're going to prevent people from even using internet with VPN. But anyway, so my family is trying to contact our family there, and we can't. So that's kind of stressful. And there's also this, like, struggle, like, because my family there want to protest, but they know if they do, they're literally putting their lives at risk. Like, it's a life and death situation. So I was, like, constantly convincing my cousins to not protest, even though I went and protest here in Portugal. But here it's different. Like, I'm not going to get killed. So yeah, they're affected by the struggle of protesting, not protesting, like, calling us, communicating with their family, like. And, you know, now they're even more, like, scared about their hijab and making sure it's, like, all the way over here and their hair is covered and everything, and they're not wearing nail polish and all this stupid stuff. So yeah, it's more fear and a struggle about whether or not to protest, I mean, to participate in the protests.
Nesbaum and Asande both feel that spreading awareness is important.
Even if people just post one thing about what's happening, the thing is, though, like, literally people will see that and their followers will see that. And it's this, like, domino effect, and it spreads awareness. In this case, if more and more people talk about it, other countries will pay attention. Like, right now, Germany is trying to, like, ban the Iranian government officials from entering or, like, leaving their country and freezing their assets. And Canada right now, like, banned 25 members of the IRGC. Because they're identifying them as a terrorist group. So eventually, like, the UN and other countries will, like, see this movement, like Black Lives Matter. And also just keep reading and educating yourself and posting and not thinking, oh, because this is not a country that I care about or a continent that I live on, I'm not going to care. Because the truth is that this is even bigger than one country. It's a women's right movement. And now Afghan women and the people oppressed by the Taliban are looking at Iran, and they're protesting.
For the News Cycle, this is Layla Bolkin reporting.
The Jewish community is starting off the new year with the harvest holiday Sukkot.
Sukkot is a week-long Jewish holiday from October 9th to October 16th to celebrate the fall harvest. This festival was put together to celebrate with friends, family, and the community. It is meant to commemorate the 40 years that the Jewish people spent in the desert to escape slavery in Egypt. Eliana Kamowitz, a board member of the Davis Synagogue, believes this is the true meaning of Sukkot.
It's supposed to be this idea that you're welcoming of strangers and of people, and that you share your harvest with them during this time of the year. So it's a celebration of the season and of welcoming people.
The local Davis Synagogue put together a night full of festivities. People of all ages would come together for a night of delicious foods and great music, with the local band playing folk music. Naomi Stahl is a member of the synagogue and enjoyed the many festivities.
We're really enjoying watching all the kids play together, too, of all different ages. I enjoy meeting into people I haven't seen for a while.
This event embodied the true meaning of Sukkot and was open to all. Leanne Friedman came to this event despite not being a practicing member of the community to appreciate the music from the local artists.
Particularly since they're friends of mine, you know, I particularly enjoy hearing them play. And sometimes if they play something that I know a dance to, I'll sometimes dance with them.
For this holiday, a meal is shared under a sukkah, a decorated three-sided structure which is open to the elements, symbolizing welcomeness and celebration. Kathy Aaron enjoyed her time at this event, where a sukkah was built.
Joy is being able to eat outside in the sukkah and having people around and music. It's very fun.
Kathy and her granddaughter enjoyed the music and food, as well as spending time with friends and family. They've enjoyed many other events like this while within the community.
As I said, it's a very warm and inclusive community so far, but the Davis Jewish community has been very... What would you say about our community here?
It's awesome!
It's awesome.
For the news cycle, this is Lucas Liu reporting.
Randy Choate enforces the school policies, but has had an interesting path in getting to where he is now.
New to campus safety this year, Randy Choate has joined our team as campus supervisor at Davis Senior High School. You have seen campus supervisors patrolling around the campus, and I had the opportunity to ride with Choate on his golf cart.
Somebody who's in different zones, and two of us basically roam around all day and go do stuff like I'm about to do right here, which is open a door for a teacher who forgot their keys, or... We go and pull like a student from class. Vice principal needs to see him or somebody in the office needs to see him.
Campus supervisor jobs are to tend to teachers and students whether there is an emergency or a minor inconvenience going on around the school grounds.
Just basically make sure that it's a safe, positive atmosphere for the campus for everybody to be at school every day.
Prior to Randy Choate's work experience in schools, he worked hard as a professional baseball player.
Yeah, I played Major League Baseball. I played... pro baseball, which is minor leagues or the big leagues for 20 years. And then, but I played in the big leagues for 11 and a half of those. So, you know, the other 8.5 was kind of up and down, maybe in the minor leagues for a bit and stuff. But, you know, I got a good amount of time with a bunch of different teams.
He also talked about his time traveling city to city.
I didn't mind the schedule. Some people mind the schedule. You know, it's a lot of travel, but I really liked traveling.
To him, while he liked traveling, it was hard always being gone from his family.
You know, I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted with my daughters when they were growing up because I was gone a lot, you know, and they're in school. Or like my wife now, you know, she was working, she was teaching.
He explained how he ended up working as a campus supervisor after his time as a baseball player.
When my wife and I, who she was born and raised here, went to school here, has taught in the district forever, and it's the vice principal at Emerson. When we came back here, that's when I started doing the homes thing after I was done playing baseball. It was just kind of time to hang them up and move on to something else, and then that's kind of how I got into all of this.
For the Blue Devil Hub, this is Jeremiah Haskins reporting.
Well, that's our show for today. The News Cycle is a production of the Blue Devil Hub in association with the Davis Enterprise. Daniel Ruiz Hermanez writes our theme music. The program is produced by Maria Anderson and Nani Grigor. Our executive producer is Ellie Dion. We're trying to grow our listeners. Make sure to share the News Cycle with your friends, subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, visit us on the web at bluedevilhub.com, and don't miss our radio broadcasts Monday at 8 and Tuesday at noon on 95.7 KDRT. You can also follow the Hub on social media. We're on Instagram at Blue Devil Hub and on Twitter at THS Hub. Stay safe, have a good week, and we'll see you next time.